Madison Plains Board of Education special meeting, starting at 7 p.m. Roll call, please.
Mr. Mason. Mrs. Zanikas.
Here.
Mr. Butts.
Here.
Mr. Coburn.
Here.
Mrs. Cooley.
Here.
Mr. Chad Eisler and myself are here as well.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
For those of you that walked in a little bit later, if you want to speak during the public communication, please put your name on the board. So going into public communication, we'll start off with Mr. Andrew Lawrence and Ms. Renee Hostetler.
Hello, my name is Andrew Lawrence. I live at 737 Old Forest Court in Gahanna. I'm here on behalf of the Madison Plains Music Program, and along with my coworker Renee Hostetler. I'd like to begin by thanking the Board of Education for their consideration and also welcome Superintendent Eisler to the district. One of the sayings that you learn in college as a music education major is that you'll always be the first one in and the last one out. While that's not always true, because if you've met Luke Sunday, he's a vampire and gets here at 5 a.m., there are certainly times where that is the case. Much of our job exists outside of the school day, so I'd like to illustrate just what it is, the supplemental that you're paying for is. Marching band takes the bulk of time, so I'll begin with that. By the way, all the hours that I'm talking about are student contact hours, not time spent planning rehearsal, score study, registering for competitions, fixing flutes, etc., etc., etc. We spend 40 hours in June and August preparing for parades and marching prep, and 165 hours for 3 weeks of band camp in July and August. Once school starts, our schedule revolves around 2 weekly rehearsals, football games, and marching competitions. Rehearsal time for those adds up to 30 hours, football games to 60 hours, and competitions for the Ohio Music Educators Association, or OMEA, comes to at least 72 hours. The last gasps of marching band are about 6 hours of time in November. If you're keeping track, that's an absolute minimum of 373 hours, or 15 and a half days, spent working with our students outside of class, just for marching band. Marching band, however, is really just a small part of our program in general. We prepare two major concerts a year, several smaller community and school events, and prep our junior high and high school students for OMEA solo ensemble, all of which require multiple hours outside school spent practicing and aiming for success. In the spring, Renee and I run outside rehearsals for every section of the high school band to prepare for OMEA large group contest in April, adding up to at least 10 hours each, and we each spend about 24 hours doing pep band for varsity basketball games. Renee and I often joke about installing bunk beds in our office, but I don't think that my wife, newborn daughter, and Renee's husband would really appreciate that. Also, it's a tiny office. We perform all these duties to the best of our abilities in service of the wonderful kids here at Madison Plains, and this investment of our time has led to the most successful run of the music program by any measure, including participation numbers, musical quality, and competitive results. Additionally, Renee and I are here to support the supplementals for the percussion and guard instructor positions for the marching band. These positions are typically filled by local college students looking for teaching experience, and they provide incredibly valuable support to us throughout the marching season. Teaching percussion and guard is a highly specialized skill, requiring years of practice and incredible attention to detail. While Renee and I can and do teach these sections, having other instructors there allows us to focus on the bigger picture and provides a much more successful experience for all our students. Lastly, these instructors put in almost as much time as we do over the course of the marching season and have an invaluable bond with our students. We hope this outline of our supplemental positions has proven enlightening, and if you have any further questions on what we do here at Madison Plains, we extend an open invitation to you to drop into any rehearsal, competition, or performance that you would like. Quite often, the easy thing to do is to cut arts funding, but in my experience, it is never the right thing for students. They deserve it, and our community deserves it, and we thank you for your consideration.
Hello, I'm Renee Hostetler. I'm at 1300 Amity Road in Galloway, and I'm the high school band and choir director, and I would like to extend my thanks to Andrew for giving such a great example of the things that we do in our program. And he's so much more well-spoken than I am, so I'm going to keep it quick for you. First of all, thank you for the support that you've given our program. I've been here for 4 years. I'm starting my fifth year, and the amount of support and just music understanding that we've been able to gain with each other over the past 4 years has been phenomenal, and I'm so grateful for that, especially with all the funding that you've given us. Now, I understand that we are in a crisis here and we have to make supplemental cuts. I understand, okay? But I do want to make sure that it's on public record that any cuts made to our program will affect the quality of the program for our students, our community, our staff, our school board, just everyone in the district, and we are very well recognized and present in our community. So I just wanted to make sure that you guys are aware of that as you're starting to make your decisions for the things that you have to do for our district. Thank you.
Ms. Jenny Weddington?
State Route 56 Southeast, Millstone, Ohio. And I'm here today to talk about outdoor education. We had a phone call on Friday from Stormy Hiram telling me that outdoor education is one of the things that's being considered to be cut. And she told me that the reason it's being cut is because we were told to offer a class on leadership and team building and we refused. And so I want to address that first of all. We did not refuse. The class was offered. And in fact, I emailed Dr. Unger telling him how phenomenal it was. And I included that email in the packet I just sent around. Also in that packet is a breakdown, not from this year, but from I think the year before this one, about what was offered at outdoor ed and the standards, seventh grade standards that are addressed through the teaching we do at outdoor ed. I'll be honest, I'm very passionate about outdoor ed. Of everything I do at Madison Plains, and I do a lot, outdoor ed is the thing that I am most involved in and invested in. As a mom, I pray that my kids get to go to outdoor ed. My oldest went 3 years ago. My second oldest went this year. I have two more who I'd love to see go, but this is not why I'm passionate about it. In my classroom each year, I work really hard to build a community, and people might come in the first couple weeks of school and think I'm not teaching, but what we're doing is building a community, and everything we do in the class, from developing a social contract, which relates back to social studies standards, to doing PowerPoint introductions and stuff like that, it all involves building a community. And my kids know they're safe in my classroom. They know that even if they're wrong, they're not ever going to be repercussions for that. They learn to speak out and do public speaking, which is really emphasized later on in civics. All of this is stuff that we do the first 2 weeks of school just to get these kids in this community. And in spite of the foundations I lay, there are still kids who struggle. I work a lot of times on my lunchtime or during my planning period trying to get these kids to the point that they're where they need to be. And sometimes it's not even social studies. Sometimes it's in math or science or language arts. And these kids struggle because they have disabilities, because they don't get support at home, because they're not getting the sleep they need. Sometimes they're working to the best of their ability and they're still getting a D. These aren't kids that I'm passionate about. They're the kid, reason I became a teacher. And the reason I'm so committed to outdoor ed is because I take these kids from school where it's a struggle and every day is a problem and they soar. And it's incredible to me. It's the most gratifying experience in the world to see kids that you know are working their butts off go there and soar because we provide them with a different environment and it's the environment that is best for them. One of my former students is named Cheyenne Miller, and we took her to outdoor ed 2 years ago, and it was a very difficult time in her life, and she was not sure that she wanted to go because her mom was very sick. And so we had a lot of conversations about it, and she ended up going. She told me yesterday that outdoor ed helped her to overcome a lot of social issues because she made friends with people she wouldn't ordinarily talk to when she was paired up with them in groups. She also told me that it helped her overcome some fears. Her grandma told me before Cheyenne went to camp that Cheyenne was deathly afraid of water. Her very first activity was canoeing. When I sent her grandma a picture of Cheyenne out on the water in a canoe, her grandma could not believe it and told me she was crying because Cheyenne would never get in the water. Additionally, I shared some content standards that we've covered, but more important than that, to me, are skills that we teach above and beyond content standards, skills that we talk about every day in class, skills like problem solving, persevering. One of the best examples I can think of this year had me laughing while we were at camp. My daughter Emma and Kirsten Eads were at camp, and I teach canoeing, so we were at canoeing, and I showed them what to do. We have a basic overview of how to canoe. But these girls, in spite of the fact that they are two of the top kids in going into eighth grade, they're both three-sport athletes, very accomplished girls, we put them on the canoe, they couldn't do it. They had no idea how to do it, and it took them 10 minutes to get to the point that they were even out on the water. And I'm like, wow, I never would have thought of this out of either of these girls. And they wanted to come back in, and they wanted to quit. And I said, no, you cannot come in until you've made a tour of the lake. So it took them an hour to figure out how to paddle this canoe. But they did it. They didn't quit. They persevered. They solved the problem. And these are the types of skills that they learn at Outdoor Ed. Additionally, we have kids help kids face their fears, whether it's a fear of heights, a fear of public speaking, a fear of staying away from home. We provide a supportive environment where kids are doing all of these things that they might otherwise be afraid to try. Finally, I want to say that of all the school's trips that kids take, the overnight away from home trips, Outdoor Ed is the only one that seeks to include every student in that grade. I would be happy if I had 100% participation. Unless a student has a severe behavior problem, they're allowed to go to Outdoor Ed. We usually say you can't be suspended, but we make exceptions because these are the kids who need to go. We do not limit to the first 50 like the English Civics trip and the eighth grade trip do. The cost is about $100, which is much less than the other trips. However, even that is not a reason not to go to Outdoor Ed. Any kid who's had me for a teacher knows I'm a little crazy about box tops and cans. I have recycling in my classroom that money I make from it is deposited in the Outdoor Ed account. Box tops, I split with eighth grade, money goes to Outdoor Ed. This helps pay for kids to go to camp if they cannot afford it. If we didn't have enough money, this is the first year we haven't had to do this, but if we don't have enough money, I pay for them to go because it's that important to me that kids go to camp. I don't want them to miss out on this opportunity. So even if you take the supplemental away, for me, I mean, as a coordinator, I work 250 and 300 hours on Outdoor Ed a year. That's about $2 to $3 an hour that I make in the supplemental. It's not, if you want to take my coordinator position away and just have me do a volunteer, I would happily do that if it means we still have Outdoor Ed. I ask that you allow the seventh graders to continue to participate in application and outdoor education. And if we do allow it to happen, I invite you to come to camp in May and see my kids soar.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Joni Boyle. I live at 197 Maplewood Drive, Chillicothe, Ohio. And I had to come up for this meeting tonight, so that's okay. I am speaking on behalf of my number one sport will be golf, because it's a situation that we learned this past boosters meeting that we were learning that one assistant from each team would be cut. And my understanding from my perspective is that I have a varsity team and I have a JV team. So Zach Durbin would like to be my assistant. He has applied to Mr. Miller. And so we do have enough young men to play. A team of 12 would be 6 for varsity, 6 for JV. But I actually have 13 young men and I'm not gonna make that one cut. I'm gonna keep that young person because I'll lose a couple people to graduation. I don't want a cut to be the reason why I can't have a second team, because there are team days and matches that we can go to two different positions, two different courses to play. I can't be in two different places at one time. So that way my assistant coach, and I don't see him as my assistant, he's my equal, because he'll be coaching. Also, too, if you know my home court, our home course, it's Locust. They have 4 9-hole golf courses. Sometimes because they have our girls' team and other schools out there and leagues, the whole team may not be able to go off on the same green and same course, so they're going to split us. All I'm doing is running back and forth and not actually getting to be able to coach. So that's a disadvantage to the kids. So I'm here on behalf of, like Mrs. Weddington and Mrs. DeLawrence and Mrs. Hostetler, that we're here and teaching because and coaching because we're passionate about the kids. We want only the best for the kids. And by taking those positions, the kids are going to be the ones that are disserviced, okay? And so if track is a different situation, you know, if you have to take our assistant at track, then that leaves Coach Miller and I to head everybody. And that means we have shot and disc, we have pole vault at one end, we have long jump and high jump at the other end, we have hurdles going on, and we also have the running events and long distance going. Two people to cover all of that. It is what it is. It's self-contained, but better than what the golf course is, but it's a situation where I am asking that you consider keeping our track assistants and also keeping my varsity golf assistants, so everybody, like Mrs. Weddington and and the music department, everybody can participate and everybody can grow and develop into something and be bigger and better. Also, it's a situation, we don't know what cuts are being made, and that's why we're here tonight. And that's puts us at a disadvantage because, you know, we're here asking for it to keep your position. But it's, I would hope it would have been the other way where you would have come in and said, okay, here it is, laid it out, and then we could have looked at it from a different perspective. But it is what it is, so I'm here to ask, please keep my golf, my second team, because I don't want to lose anybody, okay? I want to keep those young men and let them go all the way through high school and let them be a Madison Plains golfer. So anybody have any questions from the board or welcome to new superintendent, and anybody have any questions? I don't like public speaking. I'd be easier to talk to you guys in the hallway. I'd be better at it. But if you do, you guys know how to get a hold of me. Please do, and I appreciate the time. Thank you.
You're
welcome.
Is there anybody else that wants to speak? Karen?
Good evening. Karen Grigsby. I live at 7315 State Route 323, Mount Sterling, Ohio. I am actually here to speak on behalf of my two children at the high school. They were unable to be here tonight, and they both had wished to speak to the board. So I apologize. I'm going to be paraphrasing cryptic text messages from two teenagers. My son, Joey, is going to be a junior at the high school this year. He had wished to speak to you in regards to the outdoor education field trip. Joey attended this field trip like every other child in Madison Plains in the seventh grade. And as an eighth grader, he was asked to come back as a counselor. Each school year, the teachers do select three or four students to come back and counsel the other students who are there and be mentors to those in many of the situations that Jenny just spoke to. A couple of the points that he wanted to bring up tonight included what he felt was gained in the social well-being of other students through that experience, the ability to build teamwork and to learn life skills in a setting that does not happen here within the school day. He also mentioned specifically about the biology standards and how, I know Jenny just said the seventh grade standards, he spoke to how much of what they learned in high school biology was relevant to what they had experienced in outdoor education. And finally, he wanted to bring up to you about the tradition of the outdoor education program to make sure that you are aware how long this tradition goes. I'm not going to say this, but he said a very long time because it's been 31 years. We know it's been 31 years. 31 years of classes through Madison Plains have gone because I was a seventh grader in the very first class that attended outdoor education. So that was an important point that he felt that the Board of Education needs to understand how many hundreds of alumni and people who still live in the district experience that. I'm also speaking to you on behalf of my daughter, Rebecca, who is a freshman at Madison Plains. I'm sorry, she just finished her freshman year. She's going to be a sophomore at Madison Plains. She's going into her third year in the marching band program. She said no other program has affected her life so positively than the marching band program at Madison Plains. And she wanted to make sure that the board was aware just how much dedication it takes, not only on behalf of the students, but on behalf of the marching band directors as well. Becky has the honor of being in the percussion section, which means she also has the honor to be here many more hours than many of the other students. In fact, she says that there are at least 4 weeks out of the summer that she is here 40 hours a week because the band practices like 8 to 12, and then the percussion section stays an additional 4 hours every afternoon. She pointed out that that means that Mr. Lawrence and Ms. Perkin and Mrs. Hostetler are here that many hours for 4 weeks out of the summer, in addition to all of those other hours. So she wanted to emphasize the importance of that and the importance of the percussion leader, that they have somebody that can work individually with them because of just the many different groups within the marching band and how many different people it takes to make that happen. So she wanted to bring that up as well. I will speak separate from that and tell you that I do know that there are districts where marching band teachers are paid on a separate pay scale than other teachers because of the amount of time that is placed into those positions. They may not get as many supplemental contracts as we offer here at Madison Plains because they're paid at a different pay scale where that's already figured in. So if you were to compare the number of supplemental contracts at Madison Plains with other school districts, you might find that they aren't getting nearly as many supplementals, but that is because we've had a long tradition here at Madison Plains of making sure that we are being competitive when it comes to selecting teachers for that program. I can tell you, and I'm speaking again away from Becky here on this, I can tell you that when we interviewed these two people for this position, these positions that they've been in now for 4 years, we told them point blank, we expected to stay going to state competitions, and that's what they did. And they poured a lot of time and effort into that. So I just want to emphasize with you that as a district, we set out an expectation for them, and they have lived up to it, and they could be going anywhere else and being paid at a higher salary with less supplementals in order to do those jobs. The other issue I wasn't going to talk about, but Joni brought it up, was now I'm going to talk to you as a mom of kids who are on the track team. And if you aren't highly involved with the track program, you don't realize how many different events happen at one time. And I'm concerned that there's a safety issue there if we do not have assistance for those two positions. If there is no one there to supervise students who are behind the stadium in events, while there's students out on the track or in jumping locations or whatever, that could present a safety issue. As an administrator, I know somewhere cuts have to be made, and I appreciate that. And I appreciate that that assistant coaches may have to be, you know, that may have to be where that is, but I'm asking you to consider that in those situations where we may only have one assistant coach, consider the safety of removing a person from that position for our students as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else?
Kevin Stockham, 235 Arthur Bradley, London. Basically, coaching. We as a board, as a district, as a community, kind of put our programs, athletic programs, you guys want us up here. We've been very fortunate in softball the last 12 years. We've had some very good softball teams, won some championships. One of the reasons why we've had this success is because we've had assistant coaches. One person, 16 kids, can't do a lot of drill work with them. Have assistant coaches, you can break kids down, you can work with them individually, you can work with them in small groups. What that does, it creates success. It creates confidence for the kids, confidence spills over to success on the field. I understand dollars and cents, and I know we don't have a lot of dollars, but we have to make sure that when we think about where we want to try to make our cuts, we do need to have some sense as to how does it affect the kids. How does it affect our kids, both classroom extracurriculars, athletic extracurriculars? One of the things is, if we go and we cut assistant coaches throughout the system, throughout the programs, what will that do to the kids? What will that do to your participation numbers? If kids are not being instructed, will kids want to come back and play? Ultimately, I may have 16 kids this year for softball. I don't have assistant coaches. I don't have help. Next year we may have 12 kids playing softball. It can happen in football, it can happen in basketball, it can happen in any sport where kids don't feel like they're being served. And that's just one of the things that we need to really think about. How are we going to take care of the kids if we don't have personnel there to help with the coaching and teaching? That's it.
Thank you. Anybody else? All right. Thank you, everybody. We will move on to the treasurer's report. Todd?
Thank you, Ms. Sinikas. I only have one item before you, and it was a last-minute addition, and I would have done it if it wasn't absolutely necessary. It was kind of an unusual circumstance. We were awarded additional grant money for this fiscal year in June, so after our last meeting. It was a small amount, but it was still money that could be spent for the district and benefit the kids. So had we not amended our appropriations, we would not have been able to spend these funds. So that's why they're before you. That is the only change, is the addition of that $503.50, I believe is what it is. And so doing this will allow us to encumber those funds before June 30th, which will allow us to spend them by September 30th. So that's why you have the amended appropriations before you, and that's my only item under my report.
Okay, thank you.
Madam Vice President, I make a motion that upon recommendation, the Treasurer of the Board approve financial item C3.
Second.
Discussion? Roll call, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Coburn?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mrs. Zinikas?
Yes.
Motion carries 4-0.
Okay, now we will move into the board work session. We do appreciate everybody's words this evening. That is going to be our session going into executive session. We will take a look at the supplementals and take every word that you said into consideration. So with that, I make the motion to move into executive session at 7:27 for the purpose of section 1, to consider the appointment, employment, dismissal, discipline, promotion, demotion, or compensation of a public employee or official, or the investigation of charges or complaints against a public employee, official, licensee, or regulated individual, and then section 5, matters required to be kept confidential by federal law or rules or state statutes.
Second.
Discussion? Roll call, please.
Mrs. Zinikas?
Yes.
Mr. Coburn?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Motion carries 4-0.
No further action will be taken after the executive session. So thank you for attending this evening. Next meeting. Thank you. Our next meeting will be, there's a special meeting on July 9th at 7 a.m. And then the regular meeting, yes. And then the regular meeting will be held July 17th at 7 p.m.
Do you want to say what the special meeting's for?
The
7 a.m.? For high school principal.
Okay.
And other positions.
And other positions.
Okay, so we're in the process of interviewing for some of the open positions that we have. And that the special July 9th meeting is where we will approve all of the positions that we hire. That's what the purpose of the meeting is. 7 a.m.
Thank you. Todd
brings
Oh, there you go.
We stayed in here.